This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Audrey Raj, and with me in the studio today is Cinema Christine, aka Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hi.
And of course, DJ Shred, better known
as
Hot Yoda 97, or like we like to call him plain old Arvind Yuvaraj.
Yes, hello.
All right. So we have plenty of fun stories. Well, you can call them fun on this fun Friday, the 26th of January, 2018. We're kicking Biz Bites off today with a story about the internet filling up because of good morning texts. Then we're going to move on to some good news. Chrome is apparently muting all those annoying ads that you get online. Chris will give you that story. Then some not so good news from Arvind. Google may be tracking every move you make via your Android phone. And then, of course, something that you may not be able to unsee after you hear this story. Chris will be giving us a story about hidden messages in Apple's new privacy logo. So, you know, a warning there. You might not be able to unsee what you see after Christine gives you that story.
I guess more you won't be able to unhear what you hear.
All right. But we're going to kick things off with this story about the internet filling up because Indians are sending millions of good morning texts. I'm talking about Indians in India, or am I talking about Indians in India? Well, let's see. All right. So one in three smartphone users in India run out of space on their phones every day. Now, this is compared to, say, one out of 10 users in the US. Why is this happening in India? Well, Google researchers in Silicon Valley, they were trying to figure out why so many smartphones were freezing up half a world away in India when they discovered that the answer came down to just two words: good morning. So the glitch Google discovered was an overabundance of sun-dappled flowers, adorable toddlers, birds, and sunsets sent along with a cheery message: good morning. Now, if you're in your car out there or you're listening to us in the office, I'm pretty sure you know what I mean. You must have received at least one of these good morning messages, or maybe a New Year message, right? You guys have received them, right?
Yeah, for our New Year and Chinese New Year and everything in between. And also things like, for example, clickbait news things that are designed to fearmonger, but like it's in video form, so they have to send you the whole video. You know, I'm not salty, whatever.
Yeah, good morning messages are the reason why I turned off my auto downloads.
On
WhatsApp, right. I have like, it doesn't download anything, not my videos, not audio clips, not it, and it's specifically because there were too many good morning messages. I could open my gallery and then I'd get like good morning with two doves, and then good morning with like a baby, and then good morning with like some weird Photoshop animal flying out of a nest or something.
Yes.
So yeah, that's basically why.
And these messages are crazy popular. It's actually driven a tenfold increase in the number of Google searches for good morning images over the past 5 years. The craze actually made Pinterest add a new section to display images with quotes. And guess what? It saw a ninefold increase over the past year in the number of people in India downloading such pictures. So WhatsApp, I guess, noticed the trend and wanted to help the poor souls out there who, well, didn't appreciate their phones being flooded with such messages. But they, of course, wanted to keep their 200 million monthly active users in India. So what they did was they added a status message last year so users could actually say good morning to all their contacts at once. Deep sigh. But nope, you know, that really didn't do the job. Why? Because some people out there are hardcore about these good morning messages. This article here in the Wall Street Journal cites Desh Raj Sharma. He's 71 years old and he recently started using a smartphone, and around 6 a.m. every day, he searches for and sends good morning images to more than 50 of his friends and family using WhatsApp.
Individually or like in a group?
I don't know, but
It sounds like, it would be individually, though.
Sharma here has plenty of time on his hands. And what he says is, these WhatsApp messages are really my thoughts put into words, and that's why they are special to him.
Good morning?
Good morning. Hey, don't knock Uncle Sharma, okay? Because perhaps India's most famous morning message enthusiast is actually Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Now, he gets up at 5 a.m. to practice yoga and is known to fire off good morning messages as the sun is rising. Right? And last year, he actually admonished a group of lawmakers for not responding to his greetings.
Well, I mean, you know, at least he doesn't tweet about buttons.
Okay, listen, on the one hand, that's kind of wholesome, you know. This whole country is wishing each other good morning every day, which is kind of nice in theory. Now, what I don't get is why you specifically have to download images and send those images when you can just say good morning and use emojis. That's what they're there for, you know, because that's just kind of it just slows the whole process down for everyone. And much like Arvin, I turned off my auto downloading of photos, videos, everything, specifically because of this. You know, you only have a finite amount of storage space on your phone, and you kind of want to use that for like memories in your photos and not just good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. So I get that, but also, guys, calm down. You know, send a GIF. You know what I mean? You don't have to download a GIF. It's you know, send an emoji. Just say good morning, or you know, send a YouTube link to the good morning song from Singing in the Rain. So many ways to do that without clogging up people's phones.
Yeah, so Google also came up with a solution to this problem, a new app called Files Go that highlights files for possible deletion with a special feature to search out and delete all good morning messages at once. And the company used its giant image database and artificial intelligence tools to train the app to weed out these good morning messages especially. And they unveiled the app in December in New Delhi. And, it's actually doing pretty well is what I hear. And it has more than 10 million downloads so far, with more users in India than any other country. Mm. It has cleared up on average more than 1 gigabyte of data per user. So if you have a problem with, I don't know, maybe your parents, hello, daddy, you know, dropping you good morning messages every morning, maybe go check out Files Go.
Yeah. I want to know why, like, I want to know if there's a resource for every good morning picture. I know they go to like, you know, they just Google search, or it has like their albums for it. But is there like a specific site where people get these images? Because I know there's Giphy for GIFs, but I don't know if there's like a good morning dot send.
Wasn't before, there is one now.
Because
now that
someone
you've given someone that idea.
So if you're a fan of those good morning messages, we want to hear from you. Or if you're not a fan, we'd like to hear from you too. Tell us why. You can reach us on Twitter at BFM Radio. That's our handle. Or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Send in your good morning messages as well, your favorite ones. We'd like to
what
see
have you
them.
Done?
Yes. All right, moving on to story two. Christine, take it away.
Okay, so you know, there are these ads sometimes when you're on the internet and you're just browsing and you're having a fun time. But there are these ads that just seem to follow you to every single website. You went to one site one time to check out a thing, and then suddenly that site's ads pop up on every site you visit, and they're always videos and they have sound, and you're just sitting there like, why am I going through this torture? Well, now Google will let you mute them. At first, it may seem like an odd move because Google makes money on its ads business, and giving advertisers free rein to stalk you on every site seems really good for companies that are hoping to remind you of that one thing that you checked out that one time, Amazon. But the search giant wrote out in a blog post that it wants to give you, the consumer, more transparency and control. Now, it actually does work out to be pretty good for business as well, because if Google's just barraging you with reminder ads for the thing that you're no longer interested in, that's not very useful, and it's a waste for the business hoping to get you to come back. So in the blog post, Google used the example of someone looking for snow boots. So you look up Snow Boots Co. for some research, but then you decide to go with another type of snow boot not on that site, or you decide that you're no longer interested. The site may still be sending you ads even though you're not into them anymore. It's very annoying to keep seeing the thing. But now you can shut it all down by muting the actual advertiser. Mm. So you can already mute ads and adjust ad settings, you know, in Google Chrome as well. But now Google is actually offering a way for you to mute those reminder ads as a new control in ad settings, and will also mute the ad across devices. So if you mute the ad on your smartphone, Google will mute that ad on your laptop as well. It also plans to roll out new controls on more platforms in the future. So right now it's just for Chrome, but then it will start to roll it out over YouTube, Search, and Gmail. On top of all of that, Google is also expanding controls for another unwanted ads feature it implemented in 2012 that allows you to mute ads you don't want to see anymore. Of course, these updates only affect ads rolled out within Google, so you may still see reminder ads from other places. And it also cannot get rid of the annoying barrage of ads from your Facebook and Instagram feeds. Ever since Instagram has introduced the things you might like thing, I'm kind of emotionally done a little bit. The good news, though, is that all you have to do now to shut down some annoying reminder app ads is to go to Google's ad settings, see the ads that are looking for you, hit mute, I need to hit mute on myself right now because I can't talk anymore. But point being, I'm very, very excited. You know, this is something that, this kind of pop-up culture has been an annoyance instead of something that has been contributing to our, you know, internet experience for a long time.
Yeah, and I heard that they brought about this move because I think they received about 5 billion complaints or at least pieces of feedback telling them that they need to mute these ads that aren't really relevant.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see if Google comes out with a demute feature for advertisers that you could be immune to muting. And Google gets to charge them a bit more. I don't know.
It's probably going to happen, but
yeah, if you want to bypass the mute function on Google, so people can't mute you, then you become a bigger advertiser, I guess.
Mm. Mm? Well, tell us what you think about this new move to mute all those ads on your favorite websites. You can reach us at BFM Radio on Twitter and of course 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. We're going away for a few messages, but we'll be right back with a story on hidden logos. BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. This is Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Audrey Raj, together with
Arvind Yuvaraj
and Christine Wong.
All right. A big hello to Jonathan Lim. He just tweeted in to say, why can't these people manually delete the pictures? A simple cleanup once in a while will suffice, no? Hashtag technology makes people lazy.
It does. It does. That's true.
I mean, I'm the kind of person that will regularly go through my photos and delete, things I've downloaded from WhatsApp and stuff like that. But it is just so time consuming. And it's really annoying to have to go back through all of that and delete all things that you don't want. So on the one hand, you can do it, but some people might not choose to.
Well, if you're wondering what we're talking about, our first story today was about, the internet filling up because of the millions and millions of good morning messages being sent out of India. They really love it. Tell us what you think about it. You can reach us on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio, just like Jonathan Lim did. Hi, Jonathan. All right, we're moving on to our next story. If you're using an Android phone, Google may be tracking every move you make. Like, you didn't already suspect this.
Oh, yeah. Because we know. I mean, we always talk about how our phones are collecting our data and how that data is being used for advertising. But we're not always sure how much data is being collected or what they're doing with the data, right? So Quartz, which is an online magazine that everyone should check out because it's really good. Quartz conducted an experiment about a week ago to test how much personal information Google collects through its apps. And they found some very pretty disturbing results. So there's a function called location history that Google uses, and it developed this location history thing for something called Google Latitude, which is now defunct. So Google doesn't use that anymore, but they still use the location function feature as a backbone for a lot of other apps like Google Photos, Google Assistant, Google Maps. It's basically the function that lets Google predict traffic and find nearby restaurants for you. You know, and tell you like where you can go eat, where you can go shop, what's the traffic conditions like.
And this is what actually makes Google tell me where I parked my car too, right?
Okay. So that's the one. So the thing is, you can opt out of Google location history, but some of the apps need it to be enabled to function or start up in the first place. So you have to enable it for the apps to work properly in the beginning, not always. But Google doesn't mention that. It doesn't say that you can opt out once you opt in and set up your app. Also, Google doesn't have a standard disclosure for what opting in means. It has different descriptions for different apps, and none of them are easy to understand for any person who's reading. It's like the license agreement thing that no one actually looks through. And it also isn't clear about how many apps will use this feature, because apparently when you turn on the location history for one app, it turns it on for every other Google app. So it's like a common feature in the phone, and once you turn it on in one place, it turns on across your phone for any Google app that you have.
Sneaky.
Yeah, so Quartz did a test with a portable Wi-Fi system that could eavesdrop on the information that phones collected, and they also used a few phones and walked around town with portable Wi-Fi, and they beamed the information that the phones collected to themselves. So these are some of the details they found that were being collected and sent up to Google services. One of it is a list of types of movements that your phone thinks you could be doing, so like walking, cycling, running, because it has your phone's movements and vibrations and stuff that's being sent up. The barometric pressure, whether or not you're connected to Wi-Fi, the MAC address or MAC address, which is a unique identifier of the Wi-Fi access point that you're connected to, the MAC address, signal strength and frequency of nearby Wi-Fi access points, the MAC address identifier type and two measures of signal strength of every nearby Bluetooth beacon, the charge level of your phone and whether or not your phone is currently charging, the voltage of your battery and the GPS coordinates for your phone, and the accuracy of these coordinates. So the last one is pretty normal. It's what you use for GPS and, you know, your Waze and stuff like that. So, according to Bill Buddington, who is a security engineer for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is a nonprofit that advocates for digital privacy, he says that this is way more information than a normal location function should be collecting. And the thing is, Google allows you to opt out at any time, and they're upfront about collecting the data for ads and recommendations, like restaurants and events and stuff. But the problem is that the apps make it seem like they need the location history to work properly, and they don't actually tell you the full implications of using this, the location history for their apps.
So they're not being completely truthful about what they're using that information for.
They make it look like you need to have location history on, but you don't. Location history is only useful when you want to get like those traffic updates, when you want to get like where you parked your car, but it doesn't mean that your Google Maps is not going to work if you turn it off. So they did a couple of, they did some more digging, and they found, they tried to figure out what these apps were using location history for. So like Google Photos. So location history lets you organize your photos by location that it's taken. But while you're doing that, Google doesn't say that it can also track where you eat and shop because it's collecting Bluetooth beacon information nearby. So if it gets Bluetooth information from a bunch of shops that is around you, then it pretty much knows where you are. It, you know, it just takes a bit of, you know, just digging on the Google Map itself to know where the location is, right? Google Maps, it uses location history to give you recommendations of traffic updates, but it also knows the movements of your phone, meaning it knows when you're out for a run or if your phone is charging and the percentage of the battery that's left in your phone. And then Google Assistant, it helps the assistant work, but it also shares Wi-Fi connection and Wi-Fi connection information, and it will regularly obtain data from your device. And the thing is, you can disable location history and the assistant will still work fine. So that's a lot of information that Google is collecting. And according to that, according to Bill Buddington just now, he says that they shouldn't be taking that much information just for using these apps. Or they should at least tell you how much information that they are taking.
Well, Christine, you're suspiciously quiet. Are you nervous about this?
No. This is the thing, right? I've talked about a lot of stuff like this before on BizBytes, where, you know, we talk about big corporations, tech corporations specifically, you know, collecting a lot of data on you and that becoming a news story, and a lot of people saying, oh no, it's so scary, they're collecting data. And as someone that's grown up in the digital age, I suppose, I've just become so resigned to it, because of course they're collecting data on you. Why is this a surprise to anyone? Of course they're doing all of this stuff. And of course they're not going to tell you about it, because if you if they tell you about it, you're going to turn it off, and then they're not going to get the data that they want from you. So I don't know, I'm kind of in a place where, like, it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone anymore. And of course, it's not ethical, but I mean, this is why I don't watch Black Mirror, you know? This is because this, no, but it's already happening.
Yeah.
You know, all these, you know, the more data that, that they can collect on you, the more useful you are to them as a consumer. So why wouldn't they?
But do you think they should be upfront with what they're using this data for?
I mean, of course, I think that they should be upfront. You know, I think it's important for big corporations to be honest about what, you know, they want to use all this information for, and for you to have the ability to choose for yourself. But do I think that they're actually going to do this ever? No.
But that's, of course, because, you know, when they tell you this, you're going to have to say you agree, and that's going to be a really long list of, we're going to use it for this and for that, and this is what it's turning on and this is what it's turning off. And who actually reads their terms and conditions?
Yeah, right. So either way, you know, it's either if they are upfront about it, you're not going to pay attention, and so they might as well not be. I see where they're coming from.
I mean, I think Quartz knows that they collect data, so they know that information. They just don't know how much data is going in. I guess, like, you know, we had the story about how Twitter has all your older messages and stuff, which it wasn't a surprise, because
that was expected. Yeah,
if you're gonna have, like, data as currency for these guys, and if you don't, I would be surprised if Twitter didn't save all your old information and your messages. But if Twitter was also collecting information about where you log in and you know what's nearby, and if you're in a Starbucks and what's beside that Starbucks, then it's a bit weird. Like, why are you getting information that you don't actually need, that's not directly linked to Twitter?
I mean, it is weird, but then you think about how much Google encapsulates on the internet, you know? You search for one thing and it'll show you, like, things that are near you, for example, right?
Sure.
And or even, let's say, you search for, I don't know, like, pineapples, and then a little ad will be like, oh, this is where you can get really good fruit. You know, so that in that sense, I do understand why, because Google has so many different services and a lot of that has to do with the context of who you are and where you are. So I understand it. I'm not condoning it. Let's get that very clear. I don't condone any of this, but I'm resigned to it happening.
I would actually condone it for ads, because I've always said that I like specific ads that cater to me. I don't want to see ads that don't mean anything to me. Like, I was driving once and I saw an ad on Waze, I think, where they said that Petronas is giving out like hot coffee in the morning, and I was on like a road trip. So and it said that this is 2 km away when I was at the traffic light. So I just drove up and they were giving out like free coffee, and I just got like free coffee from Petronas. Some ad like that. I can't remember the specifics, but I guess it collected information from me. It knew where that I always went to Petronas for some reason. That's where I top up. And then it just showed me that ad. So if it's gonna do that, if Google is gonna get this information and then show me stuff that I want to see, then it's fine. It's for ads. You know, ad companies have been doing this for ages, even before all this like social media stuff. But if they are collecting information for anything else, then it's a bit creepy.
Yeah.
That's I guess that's where the balance is.
All right, we're going to take a break now for some music. Every Breath You Take, Google. This goes out to you. BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites on Friday, the 26th of January, 2018. My name is Audrey Raj, and in the studio with me is...
Christine Wong.
Arvind Yuvaraj.
All right. And now we are on our fourth story. But before we go into that story about hidden logos, I'd just like to say hello to Khairul Nizam, who actually forwarded us his favorite, good morning message. He said that he gets these messages without fail every Monday and Fridays from his kids' school parents' WhatsApp group. So the Monday message is Monday motivation, work harder so you can shop harder. And the Friday one goes like, Friday, is that you? I can't believe how long it took for you to come back.
Okay, so these are kind of clever.
Those are adorable.
Okay, they're kind of cute. They're kind of cute.
I like those witty quips. Those are fine. It's just the good morning with a baby and then the sun and then like the baby is in a flower pot. Stop it.
Yeah. Or there's like a sparkly bird or something. Yeah.
And Supreme Leader Awang Ilyas, he contributed to our data collection discussion. He basically reminded us that we signed away almost everything when we said okay to that Google EULA.
That's true. Pretty much. See?
The
Supreme Leader is right.
Yes, the Supreme Leader is
right. I'm resigned. Speaking of privacy and giving people data and stuff. So when you install Apple's next major iPhone software update, you'll receive a new pop-up after your phone reboots. So Apple is now using a new icon showing two people holding hands to show when an app is using personal data. And so the first time you'll see it is on this new pop-up screen that informs users about Apple's privacy policies, something that is obviously designed to underscore Apple's public commitment to privacy, which the company sees as a major competitive advantage over, guess who, Google's Android. So Apple believes privacy is a fundamental human right, says the pop-up, which echoes language on Apple's website. But, and this is interesting, there's a hidden message in Apple's new privacy logo. The logo at the top isn't just two people holding hands, it's also a smiley face.
Is it really?
It is. So, you know, obviously we can't show you exactly the logo on radio, that doesn't work like that, but do you know, have a look for it, do look at the logo. It's two people holding hands, but there's two dots for the hits, and then where they're holding hands is a little curved smile there.
Are people going to use Google to look for Apple's new logo?
I guess. I don't know. Anyway, just use Bing. Anyways, point. The point is...
I see it. If you squint a little, you can actually see that smiley face. Okay,
yeah.
Now I see it.
So we've seen the logo before. It's popped up in Apple's health app, but not a lot of apps where you expect it. And Apple says that you won't see this icon with every feature, since Apple only collects this information when it's needed to enable features, to secure our services, or to personalize your experience. But I love the idea of this little icon showing up like, hey, we're collecting data on you now. Hey, we're collecting data on you now. Hey, we're collecting data on you now. And it looks like a smiley face. So, I mean, I think they intended for this design to be reassuring, but to me, it's just this reminder of the power that Apple has over our personal information. But okay.
It's like a creepy smile.
Exactly, right? Mm. It's like the Joker smiling, you know? The new pop-up will be in iOS 11.3, which is currently in beta, and most iPhone users will be able to download it later this spring. I mean, to be fair, Apple is not the first person or company to hide messages in their logos. Susan Kare's original Macintosh logos as well were playful and fun, and Apple's current Finder logo is also a smiley face. Have a look, Mac users. Other hidden logos in companies as well include Amazon, which have an arrow going from A to Z to show that they have everything from A to Z.
Yeah.
Nice. And it's also a smiley face.
And it's also a smiley face. Mm-hmm. So many smiley faces. Mm. FedEx has an arrow hidden between the E and the X to show you, like, you know, it's sending stuff to you. Baskin Robbins has its logo with BR, but it also says 31, which is how many flavors they have. Mm-hmm. And Wendy's has the word mom hidden in her collar to imply that you're eating like mom's home cooked food, which you're not because it's Wendy's. But, you know, they tried.
Oh, I never noticed that.
Subliminal.
Yeah. It's very, with the Wendy's one, it's quite subtle. But have a look. Go back to seeing the logo, and it's in the little blue. Her little button is the O in mom. So
I've always wanted to know what the Starbucks logo means. Like, what's the
mer lady?
The mer lady with two tails.
A mermaid, right?
Yeah, it is a mermaid. I have seen the evolution of Starbucks logo, but I don't actually know what hidden messages it may be. But if you guys know of any other hidden messages and logos, you can contact us on Twitter at BFM Radio, and you can also message us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
Yeah, let us know what your favorite hidden message in a logo is. We are keen to hear your thoughts. We're going to go away for some music now. This is The Babe Rainbow with Secret Enchanted Broccoli Forest. Mm. Yes. Enterprise BizBytes will be right back. BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
Hey, this is Enterprise Biz Bites with Audrey, Arvin and Christine. Before we tell you about the podcasts that you absolutely have to catch up on this weekend, we'd like to say hello to Ravin, who sent us the logo of Toblerone, saying, hey, have you ever noticed the bear in the Toblerone logo? Now, Christine, you have more information on this logo, right?
Yeah, so it's specifically a bear because a bear is a symbol of the city of Bern, where Toblerone is produced. Mm. And the mountain itself is actually the Matterhorn Mountain, which of course is a great symbol of Switzerland and is said to possibly be the inspiration for the shape of the candy bar as well.
Yeah, okay.
The
little triangle.
Okay.
The little mountains. Okay.
Also, quickly, another fun fact about Toblerone, don't snap them the way you think you should. Snap them with the top end towards the other top end instead of the base because it will snap off easier. Just saying.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
My favorite hidden logo is the Sony Vaio. The V and the A are actually the wave for analog, and the I and the O are digital. So, like, binary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sony Vaio.
Okay.
Very smart.
Very interesting, Arvin. Okay, and also a hello to Un E Ng. He tweeted us with the logo of Holiday Villa. So he said, for 20 years, I thought the Holiday Villa logo in SS12 Subang Jaya showed someone diving over an obstacle. Now, when I looked at the logo, he actually sent us a picture. Thank you so much. When I looked at it, that's all I can see. A person diving over an obstacle. But that's not it, is it?
Yeah, so when I look at it, I see two mountains and then a sun in the background of the mountains and then like a tree in front of the mountains because, you know, it's a holiday and you're looking at the sun and such.
This thing has become like a Rorschach.
Yeah, no, but you know what? I think it's really fascinating to see what kind of hidden things people might have in their logos.
Yeah, and how people decipher them and stuff. So subliminal, yeah. Like all these continental, the C and the O, they're actually a tire.
Ah.
Yeah. Mm. If you look at it, the C and the O.
Life's good. It's LG in a circle, but it's also a face.
Oh, it's another smiley face.
It's another smiley
LG.
Face?
Yeah.
Plenty Life's of good. Smiley faces in our logos, huh? Mm. All right. Okay, so moving on to the podcast that, you know, if you have the time this weekend, please check them out. These are your must-hear podcasts. On Thursday, on Tech Talk, Jeff spoke to Dr. Lindy Lewandowski and Dr. Ruben Balasubramaniam from SA Jack. Now, SA Jack is an interactive web platform with a patented solution
solution that pre-structures student essays, reduces writing anxiety, and allows educator customization and feedback. EssayJack has been ranked as one of the top teaching digital innovations in the world by the British Council and Cambridge English, and was created by award-winning educators and can be customized for almost any writing task. Now, EssayJack is now being adopted by various organizations and was a 2017 finalist for Best Higher Education Solution at the 2017 Tech Advocate Awards, amongst other recognitions and awards it has and is being considered for. So Jeff spoke to two of the co-founders about how the idea was born and the challenges in bridging technology and education. And I tell you, I heard this podcast and, well, Jeff was just having a bomb. He was having such a good time because it was really an interesting concept and idea, and it's being used around the world. So, you know, if you have the time, please have a listen. The topic is called Anxiety No More with EssayJack.
Yeah. Then I also did today, just a couple of hours ago, it aired Five for Fortune. Today's topic was five lessons that businesses can learn from Apple's battery scandal apology. So just about a month ago, people found out that if you swap your battery for old iPhones, then your iPhone starts to work properly again. And it gets rid of like a ton of problems. And some people said that Apple knew about this and they hid information from the people. Whether or not that's true is a completely different thing. But Apple came out with a fix and then they apologized and they did damage control, and it's I pretty much broke down five lessons that businesses can pick up based on how Apple handled the situation and what they are doing moving forward, and how they offered to even sell older batteries that were out of warranty for free, not for free, I mean for a portion of the actual price, so that people could keep using their older iPhones.
All right. And if you're just joining us, just a recap of the stories that you missed on BizBytes today. We started off the show with the internet is filling up because Indians are sending millions of good morning texts.
Yeah, and then we talked about Google expanding controls to let you mute those annoying ads that follow you on every site.
Then we also continue with Google and how they may be tracking your every move by using something called one of their location functions in their phones that is used across all their apps.
Then we wrapped up with the fact that there's a hidden message in Apple's new privacy logo, and once you've seen it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah, and remember, if you miss any of this, of course, you can just go download our podcast, BFM.my. Or do what the rest of us do. Go download the BFM app on Apple's
App Store
and Google
Play Store.
Yay! Okay, words
for
are coming
free.
Back to me. Yes, it's for free, and it's the best way for you to keep up with all our podcasts. And just before we go, what do we have at 1 p.m., Christine?
Okay, so coming up next is the Breakfast Grill Replay with Professor Kriang Sat Charan Wong Sat, a Thai scholar and politician. And he is a member of Thailand's House of Representatives and the president of the Institute of Future Studies for Development, a nonprofit academic research organization based in Bangkok. Professor Kriang Sat has written extensively about the economy and political environment in ASEAN. The Breakfast Grill spoke to him about Thailand's political stability in a post-King Bhumibol era.
All right, and that's a wrap for Enterprise Biz Bytes today, the 26th of January. From Christine Wong, Arvind Yuvaraj, and myself, Audrey Raj, we wish you a wonderful weekend ahead. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.